This is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it's the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Perminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
That's right, wrestling fans. It is that time of the week. It is the Final Count Spotlight. And I want to welcome you to this week's Spotlight, where my guests will be joining me in just a few moments after some plugs. But my guest on this Spotlight will be former OVW Heavyweight Champion and former OVW Southern Tag Team Champion. Two times for both the Heavyweight Championship and Southern Tag Team Championships. My guest is none other than Von Lylas. That is right, Von Lylas is going to be joining me in just a few moments. So sit back, get yourself something cold to drink, good to eat, and enjoy this week's Spotlight. But in just a few moments, I'm going to throw it to some plugs. First of all, I want to remind you that you can also watch this interview on YouTube. Just go to our YouTube page. You can get to the link via Instagram. And they are also posted on Facebook. The links are posted on Facebook. And so you can actually go on Facebook and access this interview. And you won't hear this and you won't hear the plugs or anything. But you will see it scrolling at the bottom. You'll see everything scrolling at the bottom. But you just won't hear anything extra. You won't hear the theme music, the opening music to the show. You won't hear the plugs for the show or anything. Currently, but we're going to work on that and we're going to get that eventually. Just want to, encourage you if you enjoyed the listening, go check out the watching, try watching and listening, listen and watch, do both. If you so choose to, obviously you can't force you to, but, go enjoy both the, ability to be able to watch on YouTube. And also the ability to listen to the interview as well. Wherever you are at in the world, go and check out The Final Count on YouTube. And you'll also be able to check out some of our shorts as well. We got quite a bit of shorts on there as well from past interviews and such. And so go on there and check it out. And give us some comments. Give us some reviews. Let us know what you think. And if you have not done so already, subscribe as well to our YouTube page. We are at 30 subscribers right now. We want to get to 100. And help us get to 100. This is the road to 100 subscribers. So let's build up the subscriptions on YouTube. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a great ride to 100 subscribers. And then we'll make another goal once we hit 100 subscribers. Go ahead and check us out on YouTube. And continue to support us right here on Spotify. Or on any of your favorite podcast listening platforms. Go and check us out. We thank you for your support. We thank you for liking on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, or X as it's now known as. I always forget that. But thank you for all your likes, your supports, your comments, all the good stuff on all of our social media pages. Again, we're going to throw it to the plugs where you will hear those social media pages, and you will hear about everything from Collar and Elbow. I want to also encourage you to, if you go on WWEshop.com and you make a purchase through WWEshop.com, if you use our link, use the Final Count link, which is posted on our Instagram, and we also periodically put links up on the Facebook page. I need to get a permanent one up there. I'm going to work on that as well. And so, yeah, next time you make your purchase from WWEshop.com, you can support the Final Count through that avenue as well. So, yeah, go ahead and check that out as well and support the Final Count in that way as well. And you will not only be supporting WWE and getting your favorite WWE merchandise, your favorite WWE Superstar shirt, that new championship belt, replica belt that you want, you know, that hat, that hoodie, whatever it may be. Christmas is coming up. So go check out WWEshop.com and support the Final Count in that way as well. But for right now, I'm going to throw it to the plugs for our social media, for our podcast platforms, and also for Colin Elbow. And we're going to throw it to Al Snow as well. We know you all love hearing from Al Snow. We all love hearing from Al Snow. So we're going to throw it to Al as well. And then we will get right into our interview with Von Lylas. Stay tuned. You can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in the search bar thefinalcountky. Also, I mentioned we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned. I want to go ahead and mention that if you go to ColinElbowBrand.com and use the promo code FinalCountKY, you can save 10% at checkout when you use our promo code, and you will be supporting not only Colin Elbow, but you will also be supporting the Final Count and getting merch and all that good stuff. Colin Elbow has good swag. Definitely recommend it. Very comfortable, great fitting swag, t-shirts and shirts. So definitely go over and check out ColinElbowBrand.com. Use the promo code FinalCountKY, that's in all caps, and save yourself 10% at checkout, and tell them the Final Count sent you, and say hi to Al Snow. But with more, speaking of Al Snow, with more on ColinElbowBrand.com, with more on Colin Elbow, here is Al Snow.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connects emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
All right, fans, I'm joined now by former OVW heavyweight champion, former OVW Southern Tag Team champion, Von Lylas. How you doing, Von?
Good, man. Yourself?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Thanks for joining me on the Final Count Spotlight. I'm glad we can get this get this done and get this scheduled.
Yeah, right on. Let's do it.
All right. So when did you decide to get into the pro wrestling business?
When did I decide to get into pro wrestling?
Yes.
Oh, man. I was always, as a kid, I always loved it. Grew up on Channel 3 Wrestling, Memphis Wrestling, Louisville Gardens Wrestling, whatever you want to call it, Jerry the King Lawler and that crew. Rip Rogers, of course. I'm from Seymour, Indiana. Rip Rogers, also from Seymour, Indiana. So I followed his career as well. And he would come back home every once in a while to run shows in Seymour. And my dad would help promote the shows. And so I would go and help set up chairs and concessions and do things like that as a kid. So I was hooked that way from the get-go. But, you know, always kind of bothered Rip about trying to get in, wanted to get in the business and be a wrestler. And he said I had to go to college first, had to get a job first, had to do this, that, and the other. So, shoot, by the time I ever really got into it, I was about 27. I was coaching, teaching in Muncie, and we were trying to do some fundraisers for the baseball team. I was coaching baseball, and Rip got a hold of me. He said, "Hey, why don't you run a wrestling show as the fundraiser?" That's when he was the head trainer at OVW at the time. He said, "Run a wrestling show. We'll get you involved, and it can be a fundraiser." And I did that show. I beat John Cena that night, got a victory over John Cena, and I was hooked after that, man. So I joined Nick Densmore's class, Eugene, that next summer down at the old building in Jeffersonville at OVW, and I was taking his classes on Saturdays at that point in time. I would drive from Muncie to Louisville on Saturdays for class, do the TV or whatever that night. Sometimes there was a show Friday night. I'd go early to the show Friday. Sometimes it'd be a Sunday show. I'd do the Sunday show, and then I'd go back to Muncie for the week and teach.
Nice.
So I don't know if that answered your question or not, but
oh yeah, no. So you grew up around the business, basically.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I got pictures of Rip coming over to the house when I was 5 years old. I think one of them was four or 5 years old. I got one. It was dated. I think it was 1978. I was born in 73. And it was at the National Guard Armory, and he's holding me up, and then a couple from my house too. So, yeah, it was like Christmas when Rip would come around. He was always in gimmick. He'd always have the bleach blonde hair, the headbands on. He'd take his shirt off when he'd come over, pose with us, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, man, I was, I went to shows at the Armory all the time. We went to the Louisville Gardens every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while, but. Always at the Seymour National Guard Army. Whenever there was big time wrestling out there, I was there every time.
Right, right. Now, who were some of your inspirations that you enjoyed watching that inspired you to really get into the business?
I'm not sure anybody that I ever watched inspired me. I would say Rip was my connection. I would say, if somebody was going to inspire me, it would be him. People I enjoyed watching as a kid. Of course, I liked Lawler. I was always drawn to the people kind of like Rip. I liked the Boogie Woogie Man, Handsome Jimmy Valiant. I liked Austin Idol. You know, I liked Jesse the Body Ventura. I liked all those superstar Billy Graham when he wore the long feathered earrings. I always liked those kind of guys. I liked the Freebirds, Michael P.S. Hayes. I don't know, flamboyance, the word, the whatever those kind of wrestlers were. I was always drawn to those kind of wrestlers. I was not really like that at all myself, but those are the kind of wrestlers I was drawn to.
Now, were you initially trained by Nick Densmore? Is that who you were initially trained by?
Yeah, so I went to on Saturdays. Like I said, on Saturdays, I'd go to the old building in Jeffersonville. The original, I don't know if it was the original. I think there was even one before that, but pretty much the original Danny Davis, whatever was called at the time. So Nick on Saturdays, and it was just like a, 2-3 hour class, something like that. And then I think it was the next summer, they moved to the new building, and Rip was doing the contract. Well, they had let some guys in as non-contract wrestlers to train with the contract guys. And for that summer, well, a couple summers, Rip had me in there with the contract guys. So I was in Rip's class then.
Nice. What was the training like with Nick?
Nick was cool. We did some, I don't know, some warm up calisthenics, squats. He didn't do too much of the cardio stuff. Most of it came through wrestling, but a lot of it, I mean, at that time, man, there was so many people at that little building. I remember showing up and there was like six new people on that Saturday, and there was so many people in that little building. I mean, people were chain wrestling and stuff just on the outside in the aisleways, wherever you could find a spot. That ring was real little, so you couldn't get a ton of people in there at a time. So, you know, they would go through, they had a couple different drills, a couple different blow-up drills, tackle drop down, different spots where they'd hit, you know, you always start out hitting the ropes and all that. And so then he would have, you know, when they would take kind of a break, then he would have the new guys come in and girls learn to take some flat back bumps, run the ropes, you know, things like that. Which is cool. I still was, you know, wasn't easy. I like I said, I think there was six when I went. I was the only one that went back the next Saturday. So we all went, paid our money, whatever, on that Saturday. I was the only one that came back, but there were still tons of people. Nick did a lot of like practice matches. He would pair you up, you know, with maybe at a tag team and another tag team, and you would go over maybe not a whole match, but like a segment of a match because there were so many people. So then it'd be your turn and you guys would go in and, you know, run your spot or whatever. It wouldn't be necessarily a whole match all the time, but, you know, different moves like, hey, all right, today we're going to work on, you know, like the body slam or the tackle drop down or the, suplex, you know, and you'd practice different things. But I've always said that Nick, in my opinion, you know, he's top. I never want to say somebody's the best, but he's top, right. You know, three. Just you can get in the ring with Nick and you can beat nobody and you can have a decent match with Nick Dinsmore. He's that good. I think Nick is just phenomenal. His psychology, being able to call it in the ring, being able to work with anybody, being able to slow anybody down, being able to make anybody comfortable in the ring. I had my first real singles match with Nick, and it was just awesome, man. Love everything about the guy.
We'll get into that that match a little bit later, but I want to talk to you about your first match. Do you remember your first match, and if so, what was that like?
Well, I guess it depends if you're talking like a battle royal or a real match. My first time I ever really kind of had a match, it was out at the Seymour National Guard Armory. This was before I ever was trained, and this was before the contract came in, but this would have been like the OVW days with the Damage, Doug Basham, Jason Lee, Trailer Park Trash, Flash Flanagan, Rod Steele, those kind of guys. And it was in Seymour, which is my hometown. Rip was running the show, and he said, hey, and I'd been kind of on him a little bit about wanting to get in wrestling. He said, you want to get in the Battle Royal tonight? And I'd never been in a ring before in my life. And I said, sure. I mean, I couldn't say no because I was scared to death, but I couldn't say no because I'd been on Rip like, hey, you know, I can do this. Let me in there, you know? So then he said, all right, get in. And they just beat they beat me half to death. Steel Man, Rod Steele, Scott Sandlin, Jason Lee, Trash, Flash. They just took turns chopping me, passing me around. And it was brutal, but it was awesome. So I had that. Then fast forward probably a few years after, you know, after that, I started training a little bit. And then, actually, I hadn't started training yet. Fast forward, we did the fundraiser, another battle royal. That would have been Cena, O'Hare, Jindrak, Red Dog. I mean, that whole crew. And they had it set up to where I got like damaged through some powder in my eye. So I wasn't in there the whole time. But then I made the big comeback I hit the ring. They got the powder out of my eyes just in time to come and save Nick. He was in there with Cena and Danny Basham, Damage. and they all did some stuff. I got a low blow done to me, and they did a bunch of stuff where they all ended up going out. So I was the only one left in there, baby. So that's why my claim to fame. I tell everybody I beat John Cena that night. So I still hadn't been trained yet. So I'd had two battle royals with zero training. So I was in there, you know, with all those guys with no training. Then I started doing the class. The very first day I went to Nick's class, that night I went to the Ramada Inn. I don't know the year or anything like that. Went to the Ramada Inn in Indianapolis, and there was a house show, spot show, whatever. And it was me, Travis Bain, Travis Tomko, Tyson Tomko, whatever you want to call him, and Danny Basham, the Damager, against Matt Morgan. It was Matt Morgan's first match. Jen Drack and Rob Conway. And I took the big choke slam, hit my head on the ceilings at the Ramada Inn real low, and we got Matt Morgan, who's damn near 7 foot, and me, who's about 6'5", doing a choke slam and about a ceiling that's about 7'2". So you can imagine that. So I took the big choke slam and lost. So first day I had class, I had a 6-man with 5 contract guys. And they said, "What can you do?" And I said, "Nothing. Today is my first class." But that's what Rip would do. He would just put me in there, man. So
that's pretty cool. Like that you had like those matches before training and then, yeah, you know, being a part of the battle royal and stuff. And then you also had, you know, the match on your first day of training. That's crazy.
Yep. First day.
That's really cool. Like people's first, you know, match is always an interesting story. So I always love to hear that, what the first match is like for someone. If you could pick 3 matches as your favorite matches that you had in your career, what matches would you pick?
Favorite is not necessarily best, but I have to put Rip Rogers. I did a singles match with Rip. So I was actually Rip's last match. I always say I put him out of action. I was the legend. I was the legend killer before Randy Orton. In reality, he got ran over by a car about 3 days after our match, and he never wrestled again. But I was Rip's last match, so I got to put that in there. Probably my favorite match of all time would be me and APOC, the ladder match for the title, OVW Southern Heavyweight title. That's where I got my face rearranged. Probably, man, the most fun match was probably me and Nick in a singles match. It was in Muncie. So I ran these shows in Muncie when I was teaching as fundraiser. I was a coach, teacher. So he came up. Me and Nick had a singles match. He was the OVW champ at the time. And I had beat him. And all my students and players and the place was going nuts. And then he took some nunchucks and planted them on me. So I ended up getting DQ'd. But in the middle, at the end of all that, I remember he had Melina do like a run in. I had a kiss spot with her. And then like Carlito hit the ring and Joey Mercury Matthews hit the ring. And I think Chris Masters hit the ring, and I'm just clearing everybody out and tossing everybody out all over the place and turn around and take the big shot from Nick and go. It was way overbooked, but man, it was a lot of fun. It was a very fun match. So, I mean, I might be missing something, but those are the top 3 that just stand out in my mind right now.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely say those were some top 3 matches right there that you picked. And I like how you...
Hell, them. You don't know. You don't know all the matches I've ever had.
Right, right. I mean,
there are 3 good ones, but... You're saying you're wrestling, Rip Rogers and Nick Densmore and APOC, who went on for about a 10-year run in the NXT and WWE. I mean, that's pretty good company, I would say.
For sure, for sure. And like to say that you had Rip Rogers last match, that's pretty like a pretty big deal right there.
Yeah.
I hate the way that he was hit by a car the next day, but still it's a big deal in that sense that you got to say that you had his last match.
Yeah, we're just gonna leave it that I put him out of action.
There we go. First ever legend killer. How did you come up with the name Von Lilas?
That's funny. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that before. Well, I know people have like off camera a couple times, but I guess I don't do a ton of podcasts. But so when I was in college, I was a baseball pitcher, and my catcher was in a band on the side. So they would have band practice, and I would go over there for band practice just because I wanted to be a, you know, I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to do something. Well, they all had band names. I remember his band name was Vark Sane. My real last name is Von Dilligan, kind of a long name, but I don't know. So he was like, hey, and I wasn't really in the band, but I acted like I was in a band. I'd pick up like shakers or something, just pretend I was in the band. He's like, if you're going to come over and do this, you gotta get a name. I was like, all right. Von Lilas. I just picked Von Lilas right there and then. No idea why. So fast forward tons of years later, I started doing these shows. Well, my first name is Clint. My real name is Clint. And they would say, I like, introducing Clint Hillwig. Like I would be, you know, like Jim Hillwig's long lost brother. Clint Black, Clint Brown, Clint Green, you name it. They ribbed me on every name possible. So then one time, Diamond Dan Garza, he was the ring announcer, came over and said, hey, what's your name? You know, he was getting the card ready, the height and weight and town and name and all that. What's your name? And I just went back to my rock and roll, fake rock and roll day from college. And I just said, Von Lilas. And then he said, introducing whatever, Von Lilas. And everybody's just like looking at me and they're like, what? What is this name? They're waiting on the rib name, right?
Right.
And they wanted to know where it came from. I said, I gave it to him. It's my name now. And it was that ever since then. So that's, it just stuck.
I love that. I love how that came about. In summer of 2007, OVW would start a second show and brand it for the talent that were not on the main OVW show on Wednesday nights. It would be called Derby City Wrestling. How did you find out about being a part of DCW?
I was told. I drove Rip Rogers to practice. He started DCW. So I believe at that time Rip was still training. I think he was the intermediate class teacher at the time, if I remember correctly. I think he had been relieved of his duties from the WWE as the head trainer at OVW. I believe at that time, was that Al Snow maybe? I can't remember.
I think so.
Who was in there running OVW, but Rip was still, I mean, he was still in OVW. So he started doing the intermediate class. So he took all the guys that weren't under contract. I mean, that was probably, and then when the contract guys actually left, but those classes, we would have 50, 60 guys. We would sweat our asses off. We were there 3 to 4 to 5 hours, sometimes depending on Rip's real work schedule. I remember like we'd do Monday nights from like 8 to midnight, you know, Saturday mornings, 8 to noon, whatever. But Derby City, I mean, I was just told I was doing Derby City. I mean, that was part of the deal, but it was awesome because we had we had other people that eventually started producing it, writing it, booking it. Rip kind of, you know, he got it going and did, I don't know, I'm just throwing a number out here. Let's say the first 25 weeks, 25 episodes. And then he really got hands off and let other people kind of just take over and, you know, run the show and work on their own craft and, you know, things like that. So Derby City was awesome, man. I loved it. I mean, it was so much fun.
I love that it gave those talents that weren't on the Wednesday shows, the regular OVW shows that they were on, it gave them a platform essentially.
Well, it gave them an opportunity to learn TV. I mean, it's not TV's not always just as easy as you think. You know, you gotta know your cameras, you gotta know your times, you gotta know your cues. There's a lot that goes into TV that I don't think people probably understand. So that gave a lot of people an opportunity to possibly learn or fail at that time, learn how to get better without being on a too big a stage. I mean, even considering, you know, even saying like OVW is a bigger stage, but if, you know, you go on to NXT, some of them went on to WWE. Some of them, people from Derby City Wrestling made it to WWE. So, you know, they got a lot of experience, from that Derby City. And then when the contract guys left, or when WWE pulled out and went to Florida, you know, Danny came to everybody and said, "Hey, we're going to continue. We were OVW, you know, before WWE came. We're going to continue to be OVW now." And so guys like me were now thrust into that scene. You know, I remember the first show they did, we did, after contract left. I mean, that building was just packed, man, because those guys, those contract guys have been drawing the crowds. They were, I mean, sell out crowd, whatever it held, I don't know. But I just remember going through the curtain, because, you know, I'd go to Derby City, there'd be 50 people in the crowd or whatever. I go, you know, go through the curtain for OVW, and it's a whole different ball game. I was like, holy shit. Like, I felt like at that time, like, hey, I'm doing something here, you know. But it was cool because I did have the Derby City experience, so it really helped. You know, if I would have went out there for OVW, that first TV match with no DCW, I don't know, man. I don't know if it would have turned out the same.
Right. No, for sure. I understand that. Now, what was it like working with – you talked about working with Nick Densmore and that first match, that first singles match with him. What was that like working with him?
It was awesome. But Nick would work with a lot of guys. You know, he was a trainer. So I think he took responsibility with a lot of guys' first matches. And I know back, you know, when he ended up coming back, I don't know if you ever saw any like those homecoming shows.
Yes.
When, you know, the amateur guys that were selling all the tickets, he would work, you know, whoever sold the most tickets. So Nick has done this forever. He's taken the guys that aren't any good or green or just getting started or whatever you want to call it, and wrestles them. So one, I mean, I knew how good Nick was. But yeah, just to be in there, because that was the first, you know, the first singles match, especially against a legit guy, like a, you know, somebody that I knew was really, really good. And it was good because I learned just to listen. You know, you had to listen to everything he said, because Nick was not a pre-planner at all. That's not, especially these kind of shows. So you just go out there and listen. As a matter of fact, we started out, we were both good guys. It was a double good guy match. Nick was the teacher. I was the student. It was just at a little, I think it was a public school, 189 or something like that in Indianapolis. And I did something where I messed something up. And Nick was like holding the ropes open so I could get back into the ring. And then he kicked the rope when I was coming through, and he turned heel and just vicious after I had messed something up. Now, he wasn't taking liberties or anything like that, but, you know, none of that was planned. He just, just on the fly turned heel on me. It was awesome. Oh, it was just awesome, man. Nick is great.
And Nick was great. Nick is great. Yeah, for sure. How did you find out you would be forming a tag team with APOC? And what was it like working with him as a tag team partner?
So when APOC first got there, like in class from Canada, I was always like a chopper. I was always kind of, I don't know, aggressive, I guess. APOC came in, and he was just one of those dudes. He started coming to class, and I was like, man, I don't want anything to do with this guy. Like, I would try to stay away from him. I didn't really challenge him ever. Just didn't really know him. He was just, I don't know, he was just not much to it. He was, and then in DCW, he was with like Fang and Coney Carnage. I was with Mason Rage. So our paths never, ever really crossed. And APOC wasn't in real good shape when he got there. I mean, he was white and hairy and wasn't ripped like he got to be ripped. And so once he started doing some jobs, I think, for OVW during DCW. I think they called him Eric Doom or something, and he'd go up and lose to some people or whatever. But once WWE left, he really started taking his nutrition and fitness and look and everything a lot more seriously. Now, I was never like a real, real big guy. I always had the skinny leg, kind of lanky, whatever. But at that time too, I was taking mine as serious as I ever had. And we both kind of just became these, you know, for what it's worth, like the biggest kind of, I don't know if the biggest, but kind of two big dudes that were pretty decent. And we both just beat people up a lot. And then it was Joey Mercury, Joey Matthews, I think eventually just put us together. Because I know how now that he did put us together, because we were his like henchmen or whatever.
Henchmen, yeah.
Because
yeah.
At that time, Joey had come back. I don't know if he had been released or something. I can't remember. He came back to OVW when he was not signed anymore and was doing all the shows. And yeah, we became his henchmen. So he put us together.
And then eventually you would end up being with Jamin Olivencia would take, like, I guess, Joey Matthews' place in a sense.
Yeah, I don't remember how that happened. Jamin ended up being with us, but then he turned on us. It went with Josie and I think Cardinal. Dirty Money maybe or something. I don't know how we ever got Jamin. I don't know how that happened. I think Joey ended up just going. I know he started doing the singles. I guess he was singles with us too. I don't know. Did he leave? Did Joey leave? I can't remember.
I honestly don't remember. I feel like he might have went to the. Going after the heavyweight title at that point, I feel like.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know he had a feud with Blair Moan or Anthony Bravado.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if he dumped us at that time. I can't remember. But yeah, Jamin was with us for a little bit. I mean, Jamin was always a very entertaining person, great wrestler. He's probably one of the guys I would say, you know, if you're one of the guys I would say that if you're surprised somebody didn't get signed out of that group. You know, I would throw Jamin in there for sure. I mean, he could do everything. You know, people always say he wasn't big enough, but man, especially looking at wrestlers today, Jamin was big as I saw a match with him and AJ Styles. He just as big as AJ Styles. I mean, those two tore the house down once at this show. I saw this match, and I never once looked at it and thought, man, he's not near as big as if AJ Styles can be there. Now, I'm not saying talent wise. I'm not sitting here. Right. Jamin's really good, and he looked great against AJ. But if AJ with his build can be there, then Jamin can be there, in my opinion.
Exactly. What did it mean to you to become one half of the WWE Southern Tag Team Champions? Not just once, but I believe twice.
Yeah, I think I was that twice in the heavyweight champ twice. I think both twice. It was cool. Look right here, man. Look at this. Just happened to glance over.
I love it. I think I have that same one. I believe it's signed. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know for sure, but.
It was cool. I don't really remember it. I don't remember. I don't even know who we beat. Did we beat DK and Lowry for the title?
Yeah, DK and Lowry, yeah.
I remember those matches were pretty good. I liked those matches. And then I can't remember. I don't know. Cardinal Money probably lost and then regained again. I don't know. Was it twice? Hell, I don't even know. It was cool, man. Anytime you get those titles, I think those were the original. I think those were the titles from back in the day, I think. Anytime you get something like that, because I grew up watching, like, you know, like I said, the Memphis, anything that had anything to do with, you know, the Louisville Gardens and Jerry Lawler's wrestling and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just it's cool, man. It's cool.
For sure, definitely a lot of history in those titles too. What was it like working the 30-man OVW Royal Rumble match where you would become the number one contender for the OVW Heavyweight Championship?
That's funny. That was like right after the holidays, and I had hurt my knee. God, I'd hurt my knee, and I missed some time, a little bit of time. And I remember I'd went to Seymour, and it was like a holiday season. And I wasn't really working out too much. I was drinking a lot of beer, eating a lot of bad food. My knee was killing me. And I remember Danny said, you know, we're going to do that, whatever it was called, Royal Rumble, Nightmare Rumble. Was that the night? What was that called? Was it just a Battle Royal?
I think it might have just been a Battle Royal.
But they did it one at a time or whatever. They did it by numbers. So it wasn't everybody in at the same time.
Right.
So I remember getting there, and I was a little concerned because of my knee. So I had like a knee brace on. But it was going to be like a battle royal style. So I was like, ah, it's going to be fine. You know, I can hide or whatever. Well, then Danny says when I get there, he's like, all right, you're starting. You're like, I was either number one or number two, but I was out there first. And you're going to win. And I was like, oh, my God. So now, still it's a battle royal, but it's going to be, I don't know, close to like an hour long. And I haven't wrestled for a while. My knee hurts. And I've been not working out and eating like crap. So, but I got through it. I hit a lot. You know, you can, those things are is what it is. But the winner was supposed to wrestle JBL. And really, that was the thing. Now I'm like, all right, now I got to wrestle JBL. Now this is awesome. And this also could be a scary night as well. So what's JBL going to do to me? How's JBL going to treat me? JBL going to rip my head off with that clothesline of his? You know, is he going to be mean? You know, you hear all this JBL stories, this, that, and the other. So, you know, half the guys are like, oh, dude, that's so awesome. You get to wrestle JBL. And then the other half of the guys are like, dude, you're going to have to wrestle JBL. You're going to get your ass kicked, you know, that kind of thing. So it was cool. So then we show up the night of I'm supposed to wrestle JBL. JBL's there. I'm pretty nervous. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty nervous. And they tell me that WWE won't let him wrestle because I think it was they're afraid he'd get hurt or, you know, just a non-contract guy or whatever. And so he went out and cut some kind of promo, and I don't even remember what he said. Wasn't going to waste his time with me or something, but he had APOC. I think it was APOC. Mm-hmm. I think I wrestled APOC that night.
Yeah.
Instead. Yeah. And which it was kind of a relief to me, but then afterwards I was like, man, I really wish I would have just wrestled JBL. Like, I was ready to take whatever he was going to give. I knew I was going to get beat down, but I can say I wrestled JBL. You know, it was going to be worth it. Get his respect, might help me get a job in the WWE. You know, I was thinking that way too. So I was relieved, but then very disappointed that I didn't end up wrestling. Then we hung out after. I can't remember. Somebody went, or he paid for him, sent somebody to get a couple cases of beer. And I just remember it was me and APOC and him and a couple other guys. We just sat in Danny's office and just drank beer all night. And he just told stories and couldn't have been a more cool dude for all the horror stories you hear about him. Couldn't have been a nicer guy, man.
I remember that night because that was the night that there was a snowstorm that hit Louisville the night before or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yep.
And yeah.
So you were there?
Yes.
So did they announce that night, right, that he wasn't going to wrestle? You went there thinking he was going to wrestle, right? Is that right?
He announced that he couldn't wrestle that night, but he did the promo and
still was there meet and greet or whatever, probably. Right.
For sure. Now
I found out the same time you did.
Yeah, that's right. So, I know you mentioned that you used a chop a lot, which I knew that. But how did you come up with, you know, how did you decide to just use a chop a lot?
Well, it was kind of one of the deals where when you get started and you've never been in the ring before and you can't do a whole lot, people just beat you to death with chops. All those battle royals I was in, you just get beat up, beat up, beat up. And finally, Rip told me, he was like, you eventually are going to have to fight back or you're just always going to get beat up. Like, that's just what happens. You either start hitting back or you're just that guy. So they had a couple dummies, like workout dummies, like people use for like boxing and kickboxing and stuff like that at Davis Arena that I would legitimately just literally practice on with my hand just to get ready to. And in the practice, Rip did chop practice. So, you know, Rip did this four corner drill where you would take a guy to each corner and chop him. And then he gets to do it back to you. So the key was always to be the second guy, because when you're getting chopped first, you know, it hurts. You're in a cold building, no crowd, no fans, no adrenaline for what's about to happen. And so you get hit four times. And by the fourth, when you're like so mad that you can't wait to spin that guy around and just give it all back to him as hard as you can. So once I started learning how to do it, I was really good at it. And then I started doing it back to guys to where they quit doing it to me. It got to the point to in battle royals, nobody would come to me. Like I could stand in the middle of a ring in a battle royal and there wouldn't be anybody ever approach me in the battle royal because they knew that I just got good at it. I think it's because my arms are kind of long and lanky and stuff. But once you get good at it, and I didn't do a whole bunch of other stuff either. I wasn't a good puncher. I didn't do a lot of high flying stuff. I was more of a, I don't know, ground and pound kind of guy. So it fit my style.
I agree. You know, and like I put your chops up there with someone current OVW, Castle. I mean, I'd totally put your chops up there with him.
I don't watch it, but you know, I've been compared a lot to, a lot of people compare me to a current. Is current, if there was ever anybody current wrestling, because I don't do all the flips and kicks and all that kind of stuff, you know, people have said I would remind them of Gunther. That would be that style anyway, you know? So, yeah. You know, which is cool. I never knew if that style would work, but he's obviously made it work. I mean, look at him. So,
for sure, definitely.
Which I think is awesome. I think it's awesome that there's a guy like Gunther that's had that much success. I think it's great.
Exactly. Yeah, same here. Can you talk about your feud working with, in 2009, working with your former partner, APOC, over the OVW Heavyweight Championship? That was a phenomenal feud, by the way.
Yeah, just give me cold chills, man. Yeah, dude, that was the time. That was the time of my wrestling career. That was the height for sure. Everything we did, I thought was just great. I guess I can say something I did was great. I mean, that whole thing, the whole lead in, I just can't remember it all, but like, you know, he cheated. He had the girl, the valet, and cheated, you know, every week was something different. I remember the one week we had a show where every match on the show was a cage match. Well, me and APOC already knew that in our feud, eventually we were going to get to a cage match. So we were like, this is going to kill where we're going with our feud because we are going to have a cage match. And we just didn't want to do what everybody else was doing, you know? And so we did a thing where he had like a doctor's note or something. And he was on crutches, and then he just beat me up with the crutch. He threw like powder in my face, beat me up with the crutch, and we never got in there. Well, we got back in the back after that, and I thought Danny Davis was going to kill us. He was so pissed that we didn't have a cage match that night. He couldn't see straight. So we took it upon ourselves to not do the cage match, and it almost cost us never wrestling at OVW again, but Danny cooled down. He cooled down and we kind of explained why we did it. And then he was fine. But yeah, we had the ladder match. We had the Falls Count Anywhere match. I remember fighting in the parking lot, fighting in the dressing room. I remember taking my boot off. I remember, you know, just Latin, like I said, everything. It's just awesome, man. APOC's awesome. Like he is for his look back then, or even as Victor, you wouldn't know how great of like an actual technical wrestler he is. He is one of the most sound. He could do anything. He could do any move. He can make anything look good. He's so smooth. He's so great in the ring. I, you know, it was great. It was so much fun. And we beat the hell out of each other. Like we didn't take it easy on each other. I mean, he'd have me down, tell me to cover up. And I'd just sit there and take it. Didn't care. And then I'd yell at him for being stiff. And he would say, I told you to cover up. So we, you know, but it was fun, man. It was so much fun.
I loved those days. Those days were so awesome. Like I said, again, great feud right there. I enjoyed it myself. We last saw Von Lavis at OVW 1000, in 2018. Any chance we could see a future appearance for you once again in OVW?
I don't know if anybody's looking for a 50-year-old skinny fat guy, but I don't know. What was that? Was that the 4th Street? Was that the...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. That was with me and Nova and Power and a couple other people. I can't remember. That's when Jimmy Cornette and Rip and Danny were in the ring. We came out to heel on the OVW originals or legends or originals. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I don't know, man. OVW looks like it's going a whole different direction. I know they got the Netflix thing out. You know, they're streaming all over the place. I've caught it a couple times, but I just don't really watch it. Looks a little rough for me, to tell you the truth. I don't know. Would I ever make an appearance? Sure. If Al needed something and wanted something and wanted me to come down there, yeah. I just wrestled in Ricky Morton, the school of Morton, Ricky Morton School. A couple months ago, I've done that twice now, doing a little some kind of TV streaming deal at the school of Morton in Chucky, Tennessee. So yeah, I can still go a little bit. I'd be happy to do something in OVW. It wouldn't be anything too serious. Make an appearance, do something, sure. Will it happen? I'd give it about 10%. You need to talk to Al Snow. That'd be a question for Al Snow.
Right. There you go. Who were some of your favorite people to work with in OVW?
Oh, man. Well, I already said APOC, Nick Densmore, Mike Mondo. Gosh, Mike Mondo is just he's right up there. You know, we talk about Nick. Mondo's great. Love everything about Mondo. I had good times with Mason Rage. That was more DCW. That was good stuff. I don't even remember anything. Or I didn't do a lot with him, but anything with Joey Matthews, Mercury at the time, had a blast with him. Any kind of anything we could do with him was a lot of fun. God, I don't even remember. I don't even know, man. I can't even think. Give me some people. Tell me some people, and I'll tell you.
Let me think. What about Daryl Kelly and Josh Lowry?
They were fun. I mean, I thought we had some pretty good stuff with them. We did some different house shows with them too. They were good. They were just the young, pretty boys. They were, you know, they didn't have the same style we did, which you don't have to have the same style, I guess, to have a good match or a good feud. I think we told a good story with them. They were the young, fiery, good-looking baby faces, and we were the old, grizzled, mean veterans. So, yeah, we had they had a good time with him.
I don't remember. Did you ever get into the ring with Chris Cage?
I did. I did. I can't remember. Cage is awesome. I like Cage a lot. He's been on my show. Cage is great. So Cage was in that battle royal, that first one I was at in Muncie, the John Cena one. Cage was just coming from Ohio. He started in Nick's class, beginner class. He no contract, no nothing, but he was in that battle royal with me. I remember Cage was in it as a non-contract guy.
There were so many people from, you know, Data Lambasai. I don't know if I said that right, but there was Data Lambasai. You had the Mobile Homers.
That was a good group. Oh, Mobile Homers are great. I mean, Beast and Revolver, those guys are, you know, when you get into saying, hey, these, you know, can have a match with anybody, can call it in the ring. Those two more guys that don't plan anything out. You can just say, meet me out there, and Mobile Homers will figure it out, man. Those two were great. Data Lambasai was fun. We didn't get to do a whole lot with them because we were both heels. We were all heels, so we didn't really do much with them. But, I had Beefy Brad Maddox on our show along, and we brought in
Moose.
As a surprise. So we had a little Theta Lambda Psi reunion. We can't find Lumpy Magoo anywhere though. He's lost and gone forever.
What about Cardinal and Dirty Money?
Oh yeah, they were fun. I don't know. Cardinal didn't like to get chopped, so there was that. I remember one time he told me on a comeback, no chops. I said, okay, As soon as I got in there, I just started chopping him. They were fun. There was nobody really. I never, you know, I didn't really like not, you know, get along with really too bad, you know. There was nobody I would typically like look at the car and be like, oh gosh, I don't want to wrestle these guys tonight. Some guys were more fun, you know, than others, but it was all just a wrestling, man, wrestling match. So we did a whole bunch of stuff with Cardinal Money. I mean, we had, you know, we were doing the four corner tags with them, Los Locos, and maybe the Mobile. I can't remember but we were doing a lot of stuff with those guys. So yeah, it was cool. We had a lot of good tag teams at that time, man. It was cool.
There definitely were a lot of good tag teams at that time. Yes. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about a favorite Six Flags Kentucky Kingdom moment.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer would be wrestling CM Punk, I would think. It was me and A-Pac against Punk and Joey Mercury, Joey Matthews. I don't even, I think they called him Joey Matthews there, I think.
Joey Matthews, yeah.
You know, for me, Joey was just as big as Punk. Like, I thought Joey was awesome, man. He's another one of those guys that, I mean, he was 5 foot, whatever. But I remember going to some WWE tryouts. We'd get in the ring before, like, Raw or SmackDown. And Joey, you would think Joey was a 6'5" guy, the way his presence in the ring, the way he laid stuff in. The way he, you know, got heat on people, and he would teach all the guys before, you know, the shows. Everybody was listening to Joey, all the WWE guys, like maybe not the top guys, but all the guys that were, you know, signed and stuff. So I love getting in the ring with him. So with Six Flags, we tagged against Punk and Joey Matthews. That had to be the best one. I mean, there was another one where Cena was there, but I didn't wrestle him. It was like a battle royal. I mean, the place was sold out. Mm-hmm. Which was cool. It was the most people we ever had, which was cool. Another time, Tommy Dreamer hit me with a kendo stick there. That was cool. But, yeah, it had to be the Punk match. Were you there for CM Punk?
I was, yes. I was there for...
So that match has never... I don't think it's ever been seen. That was when the ring truck blew up the next day. We were going to Cincinnati for a show. Wow. And that hard drive, the disc and the hard drive caught fire. I mean, the truck melted to the ground. So that Six Flags show was on the truck, and it's never, to my knowledge, it's never been seen.
Wow.
On tape. So if you do find a tape of that match somehow, somewhere, anybody out there in TV land listening, I don't think it exists, but if somebody has any kind of footage on a phone or anything like that, I would love it. I've never got to see the match. I would like to see the match, but never got to see it.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy that that happened. There were so many good moments at Six Flags and so many good Six Flags shows. I loved those shows. Is there any anything you would change about your wrestling career if possible?
Probably would have started earlier, I would say. Got on the gas? No, probably not. I mean, that's really what a lot of it was back then. Like, are you going to, you know, what are you going to do to your body to make it? You don't really have to do that now. So people are a lot more fortunate, I think, now. You know, I kind of was in a, you know, when I first started, me being 6'5" and 235 was tiny. I mean, you're looking at Sean O'Hare and Jindrak and Big Bad John and, God, it just seemed like so many guys were, you know, 6'5", 280, you know, that they were bringing in and signing. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd chat. I mean, I would, you know, it's all happens how it's supposed to happen. I'm happy. You know, my life turned out good. Who knows what would have happened if I would have made it, so to speak. You know, some people tell me when I say I didn't make it, they get mad at me. But so I'll say, I didn't sign with WWE. Who knows what would have happened? I'm happy, so I wouldn't have changed anything, I guess, really. I had a good time, man. You know, I've met so many people, still do the podcast today. just had a sit down interview with Gerald Briscoe. I mean, a WWE Hall of Famer, a legend in the wrestling business. You know, so it's cool. I'm still in wrestling. I've met so many people and had such a good time. I can't complain.
There you go. And that's the big thing about it. Like that's the thing to take away from it. What is the best advice you would give to a young talent or someone wanting to get into the wrestling business?
Man, I have no idea. It's so much different now. Even when I started 20 years ago, whatever it was, so much different. I don't know, man. I would say, you know, you can't even hardly say now, listen to the old people, because the old people nobody even likes anymore. As far as their psychology goes, everybody wants to do the flips and the leg smacks and leg slaps. So I don't know. Maybe the advice now is get your shit in. Who knows? Like go 100 miles an hour. Get in with the, I don't know, dude. I'm out of touch in when it comes to that. I don't know what I would tell them. I mean, the only thing I would tell them, I guess, is take care of yourself, because eventually this stuff is going to catch up with these guys. That's all I would say. All these guys doing all this crazy stuff, it's got to. Eventually it's going to catch up. I know how my body feels. I did nothing. So.
For sure. I guess slow down, you know, type of thing.
I mean, they're not going to slow down. Just know that these bumps, one of these days you're going to feel these bumps. So.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Can you talk about your podcast and let everyone know where they can check it out and how they can check it out?
Well, can I talk about it? Sure. I mean, I'm not going to get on here without talking about it. Podcast is on YouTube, baby. Wrestling with Rip Rogers. Wrestling with Rip Rogers. Go right now. Subscribe. Wrestling with Rip Rogers. It's me and Rip, the Hustler Rip Rogers, former OVW trainer, wrestling legend. We do a weekly show. We go live weekly. We do interviews. We do reviews. We do all kinds of stuff. But we've been at it about a year and a half now. And like I said, we just did the Gerald Briscoe interview. Before that, we did One Man Gang, who was Akeem, also in WWF. So we had Ryback on, you know, when Ryback kind of broke his silence. He came on our show live. We had Brad Maddox on. People hadn't seen him for damn near a decade. He came on our show. We had Gail Kim. We've had Mickey James. We've had them all. You name them. We've had EC3. We've had them on.
There you go. And fans, I definitely encourage you, go check out Wrestling with Rip Rogers. Go give them a follow. Go give them a subscribe. And then let them know how you enjoy their podcast as well. Definitely won't be disappointed. I watched them as well, and so you should too.
You might be disappointed if you don't like cuss words. He does a lot of profanity. I've been getting him to clean it up a little bit, though.
Right. Oh, yeah, with Rip, that's expected. any upcoming shows you would like to promote? Just like shows that you're going to be on or anything?
Shows?
Yes.
No, I don't know. No shows. No shows that I want to promote. The last show I did, I actually told people not to watch it. So, no, just the podcast, baby. Just watch our interviews.
Fair enough.
No shows.
How can fans find you on social media?
Von Lilas on Facebook. Von Lilas on Facebook. Just follow me. It's like a, I do a bunch of clips, and you know, I do a lot of our show clips on there too. Do that. Twitter, Von Lilas. Really, it's just the YouTube, baby. If you want to do anything to follow me, just get to YouTube and Wrestling with Rip Rogers. That's the follow right there. Von Lilas on Facebook. I'll give you updates on when, you know, we're going live and all that kind of stuff. So that'd be a good place to go to.
There you go, fans. Go follow Von Lilas on Facebook. And then how can promoters, if they are interested in getting in contact with you to bring you in for maybe an appearance, a signing, maybe even on a show, just how can they get in contact with you?
I don't know. It'd be thelilasstudios@gmail.com, I guess. I can put it in. I don't know if that'll go through. I put it in the chat right there. I don't know if that'll do anything for you or not, but
yeah, no, I see it.
The Lilas, LILAS studios@gmail.com, baby. The Lilas studios@gmail.com. I'm sure I'll be getting so many emails after this show that I'll be booked from now until Christmas.
There we go. Promoters, if you're a promoter out there, go get him on your next show. Go bring him in for an appearance. I mean,
he's bring me and Rip. That's the key. I bring Rip. So you don't want me. You want Rip. I come with Rip. We'll come as a package deal. That way you can get Rip Rogers there, baby.
There you go. There you go. Well, Vaughn Lyles, I'd like to thank you at this time for coming on the show. You're welcome to come back anytime, sir.
Sure, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Good luck to you with what we got this. The final count. I didn't even know what this thing was called. The final count. I'm glad you're starting to do this in video and not just audio. It's 2023. You got to be on video, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I mean, look how pretty your face is. You can't hide that thing. All right.
There you have it, fans. That was my interview with Vaughn Lyles. And again, I'd like to thank Vaughn Lyles for coming on this week's The Final Count Spotlight and being our guest on this week's Spotlight. But right now, I want to encourage you, come back next episode and you will find out who the next guest is. I encourage you to also, again, go to YouTube and watch this episode and the next episodes as well, as we're now on YouTube to be able to watch and on all of your favorite podcast listening platforms to be able to listen. So you can now listen and watch, or just do one or the other, or just do both. But for right now, I want to just encourage you, keep your heads up, and we will see you down the road.